and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Aren't you so grateful for Jesus? Oh my, where would we be without the love of God in our lives? Oh my goodness. Take your seats this morning. That was so moving, wasn't it? That Armistice Day tribute. Do you know, I actually lost my dad due to him fighting in the Second World War. My dad passed away when he was 65 and I was 16, and my dad fought in Papua New Guinea, which is an island just north of Australia, and he was in the... So you didn't know this about me, did you? My father was in the intelligence services and he spied on the Japanese. And do you know, he never spoke about it. And the only inkling we got that Dad was there was when we asked to go camping. He'd say, "I'm not going camping, I've done enough camping for my entire life," is what he used to say. But my dad passed when he was 6 to 5 of bowel and liver cancer. And his entire platoon died of the same thing. And it was due to the conditions that they lived in Papua New Guinea. So, you know, even like my generation, you know, we pay the price for these people that have fought and protected us. And then just to go in at the end there and the ultimate sacrifice, no greater love than a man lays down his life for a friend. And Jesus laid down his life for us. It's just the most incredible sacrifice. And every year, don't you? You know, when you go and you do your shopping and you see the poppies, I make sure I throw right into that thing. What do they call it? Canister. You know what I mean. Well, you pop the coin in and you can't get it back out. Yeah, one of them. So, you know, when I came to want to preach is probably never in my vocabulary. When I was asked to preach this weekend, I wanted to strip stuff right back. Because sometimes we just need to go back to basics and why we're really here. Because it wasn't the complex that saved you. It was your need of God. So I'm going to start this morning about sharing about my husband because he's not here. And I can say anything today. And I will start by saying that Dave is an amazing cook. So in our house, he does the cooking, I do the cleaning. And he is very inventive and creative with his ingredient combinations. But then he has the funniest habit. So when he serves up the dish, he stands over me as I'm taking the first mouthful, waiting for me to exclaim upon his brilliance as a cook. So even if it's disgusting, oh, Dave, that's amazing. Yeah, our secret, okay. But my favourite dish of choice, so if there was a get-to-know-you session, you know when they ask, what's your name, where do you come from, and what's your favourite food? So my name is Jenny Gilp and I come from Brisbane, Australia, and my favourite food is cheese on toast. Oh, yes. It's cheese on toast. And if you're fancy, you call it Welsh rarebit. But if you're not posh, you just call it cheese on toast. And as I'm saying it now, my mouth is salivating with the thought of cheese on toast. And then what Dave does... then if I ask for cheese on toast, because occasionally I get sick of 1,000 spices. So I asked Dave, "I just love cheese on toast," but then he comes out with a complex version. It spoils it. So he'll add numerous different cheeses. Look, all you want is a basic cheddar. So he'll add all these different ingredients and chutneys and spices and stuff, and I'm like, no, all I wanted was cheddar on a slice, crispy in the grill. Simple, simple, simple. I am simple in the highest possible way. So if I send my son a text, he'll text me back and say, "What did you really mean, Mum?" And I'll text him back, "Ryan, I've been trying to teach your father for 33 years and you now, there is no innuendo in me. There is no another level. I am what I am. I'm simple. What you see is what you get. I'm not saying anything that's got any other level other than what the text says. I'm just simple. I'm satisfied with the simple, with the little, with the uncut, and with simple nutrition. And you know, there's something in us that actually craves simplicity. There's something in us that just craves, in the midst of complexity, all we crave is simplicity. And we want to headlock our relationship with God with a lot of myriad of complex contortions. And all the while, all God wanted was our heart. And the longer we go on with our journey with God, we add all these levels and like new contortions about how we get to know God. And all He wanted was your heart. He didn't want anything else. So I'm going to take you back today to the most basic story in the Bible. And it's the story of the little boy's lunch, otherwise known as feeding the 5,000. And let me read to you again this story from John chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Don't you? It's like Huey, Dewey and Louie, isn't it? You know, like when you're having a conversation, there's always someone's got just a little gem to add. So he came in here and he said, "Here is a boy with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will that go amongst so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." And the word says there were about 5,000 men there, which meant there was women and children as well. And Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Do you ever think, I wonder if he did bread first, then fish, or whether he did bread and fish together? Is it just me? Yeah. Just thought. When they had gathered enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." That sounded like me growing up. My mum was born in 1926 and went through the Second World War. And that's how old I am. And I wasn't allowed to leave anything on my plate. Anybody else with me? Your parents, like, eat it up. So let's break this down. The situation that we're in here, where the loaves and the fish. This was a situation where we would develop the best strategy, planning and execution. This is a conference situation. This is like a conference situation in the church, which has happened before when the food delivery does not turn up. It happens often in Accra in Ghana that they order food and it turns up 2 hours late. So now they've got smart and they order it for 2 hours before it's supposed to arrive. So then it arrives on time. Or it's a little bit like, as because I hear everything, as happens in our women's conference when the lunch bags are not quite up to your standard and the chocolate bar this year was not good enough. It gets back, ladies. It gets back. All that was really required this day was not the complex stuff or strategy or planning or execution. All that was required was the last and the little, the only available, the youngest, the weakest, the poorest, the simplest. It was simple in that it was a little boy's last, and then it needed God to make it happen. I pray this morning that our faith is just unpicked back to the simple. When I thought about this story, I imagined that in a crowd of thousands and thousands, with women coming out with their children, there was probably a few sneaky granola bars. Because what mum comes to a gathering of 15,000 with her children without a pack up? I've lived in Yorkshire long enough to know that's what it's called. But Jesus and his disciples, they bypassed the sneaky granola bars. I mean, it's not in the word, I'm just guessing. And he chose to go for the, avoid the obvious and go for the little. Why did Jesus already have in mind what he was going to do? Why did he pressure his disciples into a place where they were faced with inadequacy? Does anybody ever feel that? It feels like Jesus has pressured you into a place where you are facing your inadequacy. Why has life sideswiped you? All the word of God promises. And why does he take you to the last, the little and the poured out? Am I speaking to anybody today? Because the only way he can show his power to you is when the last and the little is all you have. My prayer today is that you realize this morning that God has brought you to this place because your end is your beginning. When it is all cut back to the simple, and all that's left is your heart and Jesus. And the Lord says, finally, I've got you where I can meet you. When did our ever-developing spiritual criteria ever be the thing that impresses God? I go to the gym a lot because I really, really love it. In actual fact, I've got my trainers put me in a competition the end of the month. Not bodybuilding, just who can row the fastest and all that. And because I used to be an athlete and now I've got artificial hips, I still want to win. And like the youngest person is 28 in the competition and I'm 52 and I'm determined to win. Is that sad? Is that sad? I rode the other day 500 metres in 1 minute 59. I am a beast. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. But when I go to the gym, there's a few things I find really amusing. And it's the area of the gym where the man with the big shoulders and no legs reside. And they wear like tracky pants and then these belts and these big shoulders. And then when they lift a weight, they make noises. And I'm like, I'm sure you didn't need to make that noise. And then after they've made the noise, and they walk around, and I'm sure in an hour they only lift a weight 3 times. Listen, I've been on that cross trainer for half an hour while you've strutted your stuff around with your skinny little legs and oversized shoulders. And then I know you've gone out in the back for a little substance that you shouldn't be having before you came into the gym. Just saying. I've always liked the skinny guy at the back of the gym. Like my little Dave. I'm not going to finish this message. Like my little Dave with his little chicken legs. He's got such skinny legs and they hang out the bottom of his shorts. And I said, oh, Dave, I'm so jealous of your legs. I've always wanted your legs because I've got athlete's legs and he's got skinny legs. And he says, Jen, he'll hate me for saying this, but are you ready? He says, Jen, I might have skinny legs, but I've got a bald head. I know, you can't have it all, people. You can't have it all. God doesn't want the muscle guy. He wants you. God doesn't want the pumped up version that struts around trying to impress God. He just wants skinny little you. Without everything added, he just wants your heart. And you know, the word of God says in Romans 5 verse 8, that God demonstrates his love for us in this, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't come to God with anything except your sin. That's it. And he still loved you and wanted you. You didn't come to God with anything impressive, but he still loved and wanted you. You know, in this story of the loaves and the fish, I love the place that it says, make the people sit down. And I thought, why did he say that? And I thought the reason is because he had to disable your ability to run around like a headless chicken, solving all the provision issues. Because as long as we can run around solving the problem that God wants to solve, he can't move. So he said, to the crowd of people, he said, "Sit down. I have to disable your propensity for hectic life management before I can distribute to you what you really need. Society is busy. It's frenetic, it's noisy, it's loud. And we think if we run fast and loud and long enough, maybe we can silence the true longing of the human soul. That's what the whole world is doing. They're running hard and fast and long enough, trying to escape what's really needed in their heart, which is the love of God. You need sustenance. But your continued frenetic attempts, I'm speaking to myself, to fill your soul with the wrong food aborts my desire to feed you." Isaiah 56. "Come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Come to me, listen, that your soul might live." There is a miracle of sustenance awaiting you today at the table of your last breath. There is a miracle of provision for you today that awaits at the table of what you think is your end. And Jesus distributed to those who were seated. Seated is a posture that is required for our hearts. And whether you are seated today because you have nothing left, or you are seated today because you choose to take that position, we need to be seated. Much more is written on our hearts when we're on our knees than when we're in a standing position. Much more is produced from our lives when we're on our knees, when we're seated before Christ, than when we're in a standing position. A seated place and a seated heart is the place of exchange of strength. It's a place where divine meets the simplicity of your soul. And my prayer this morning is that we just strip everything back for a moment in this service this morning. Back to the simplicity of our salvation and the simplicity of the fact that Jesus, I remember singing a song as a little girl, a hymn, "Come, Jesus, I come just as I am," without one plea. We come to God without one plea, without anything in our hands. When did the time come that we came to God with something? There's that song, isn't there, that says, "I come back to the start where you first found me. And take me. This is all I can bring. I haven't got anything else. This is it." And that's all he wants. Just you. Take us back to the place where our qualifications with which we try to impress God are stripped away and we stand empty-handed before our Father. We didn't bring much when we first met Jesus, except the sense of our own brokenness and inadequacy and our need for truth. And when did we feel that maturity required a higher truth or a higher order? You are too mature. We're all too mature. Where's that abandoned just, "Jesus, I love you. Even Jesus, if you never gave me another thing in my life, the fact that you saved my soul is enough for me." When do we get back to that place that, "Jesus, if you never healed my body or you never answered my prayer, the fact that I have been saved from an eternity without you is enough for me"? God, bring us back to that place of thankfulness. God, bring us back to that place where we first met Jesus. When I walked forward in a Rex Humbard crusade in Brisbane, Australia, when I was 8 years old and I met Jesus. Let's go back to that place. I've been caught empty-handed. And it's good. It's time to get rid of the trappings of our own strength. Isn't it funny how in this day and age, stripped back has become a mantra? Yeah. Do you know, like the world says, oh, you know, we need to get rid of, we need to like mindful. Yeah. I don't know what they do, but you know, this like, let's strip everything away. Let's go and live on a commune with no water. Let's go and live in a desert. I say I'm mocking, but I am. And wear orange with a mullet and dance around a campfire and own nothing. Because there's a desire in the hearts of people of our age to strip everything back. But what they don't realise is that's what God intended. But it wasn't so they would find themselves. It was that they would find their God. There's a reason for that desire in the human soul to be stripped back. There's a reason, because it has been placed within our hearts by heaven. A desire for simplicity. A desire to find the author of our souls. Let me read to you this cracking scripture. And I read it in the Message version. And I need to read it to you this morning. And it's from Galatians. It says this. Let me put this question to you. It's Galatians 3, verse 2 to 4. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Don't you love the Message Bible? Or was it by responding to God's message for you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think that they would complete their efforts, what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Hello. And then it goes on. There's more. Verse 5 to 6. Answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives, things you could never do yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving, or because you trust him to do them in you? Let's just take away the layers this morning. We can't please God. We can't reach God. We can't work our way to God. We can't dress our way to God. We can't trendy our way to God. We can't sing our way to God. We can't professionalize our way to God. We can't do any of these things. All we bring is our heart. We just bring the child inside. When did we become adults with our walk with God? Take us back, Father, to the place where we realize true strength is only found in the omission of our humanity. It's true strength. I need a sip. Talk amongst yourselves. You're supposed to do the sipping noise, church, and you missed your opportunity. 1 Corinthians. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. For God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. We never won anybody to Jesus by being strong. We never touched anybody because it's God that does it. When I was praying over preaching this morning, I said, God, would you just come and do what you do? Because so much time there is, so many times there is a pressure as a speaker to come and deliver something that's so profound. And like when you live with Dave Gilpin, who's the master wordsmith, and then you're like, I've got to get up after him. But it's not my words that does the talking. It's the Word of God that changes lives. It's the Word of God that touches hearts and heals brokenness and changes things within us. It's Him. And I prayed as I came to preach this morning that God would come and just touch our hearts. He'd strip us back to that place where we know again that we need Him. It's all we need is Him. I love the end of that verse when it says that the things are not will nullify the things that are. You mean, Jen, that things that do not exist right now in my repertoire, the things that are not my inadequacies and my inabilities, are going to come and exterminate the things that exist? Yes, they are. Because that's what faith is like. Faith speaks into the unknown. Faith speaks into your inability and your impossibility. Faith speaks into stuff that is too big for you and too large for you. And says, if you would just come to me today with your heart, with all that you've got, I, the God of heaven, will come and breathe on the things that are impossible, the things that are too hard for you, the things that are too big for you. Don't back down in this moment. Just recognize that all God needs is a seated heart. All God needs is a heart that says, just as I am, without one plea. I can't remember the next, something about thee, isn't it? It's been a long time since I was in the Presbyterian church. Simple faith. Simple trust. An age-old truth. Do you know our faith now is no different in the 21st century to it was in the 15th, in the 16th, in the 17th, and the same. Different challenges. But we haven't developed into a species that is any more intelligent or wonderful. We wish we could do, and then we wouldn't be fighting each other anymore. But we haven't developed any more than we were 500, 1,000 years ago. We still come to God with a childlike faith. Matthew 18:3 says this. Unless you come, you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. You know your kids, for those of you that have children, and they'll just sit on the end of the bed and they'll just go, let's pray about that. I remember my son Ryan saying to me, I was upset. And I think he might have been about 5 or 6. He said, have you prayed, Mummy? Because we like to solve things ourselves, thinking the God of heaven might be too busy. But He wants us to come firstly with a prayer. Firstly with that just childlike faith, that belief. You know, when a child is little, they've not developed the ability to doubt. And so they just ask. And you know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. We don't come to Him because we think we've got it all together. I want us to come to Him today with nothing in our hands. And God says, and finally, I got you. Where I want you. I want to move in your life, but you've got to recognize that you bring me nothing except yourself. Faith is through a doorway of childish simplicity, not adult complexity. It's a simple God reliance and the realization that all we have is our hearts. And that is the platform to God's provision. I want to get the musicians up early today if I can. All Jesus wants is what's left. Just inform me here, Lois. You know, like they're like quiet. Is that because they're listening? Okay, you get very quiet on me, church, today. I'm copying Tim Ross. Because he whispered and you all liked it. Can I have people that can possibly sing as well, so you're not going to make me do it? Just before I finish, I just want to pray over Drummer Boy. Man, Drummer Man. What's your name? Well, I leant over to Gavin. I said, he's enjoying those drums today. Like, he was letting it rip. Did you notice? In one of those songs, it was like all about the drum. It's all about you right now. You've come to God and you've thought, I have to add this and add that. I have to be strong for my family and strong for this and strong for that and strong for the other and strong for my extended family. And you've felt in yourself a lack of that strength and that ability. And God said, all it's about is I'm trying to capture your heart. You don't have to be this, that, and the other. You just need to bring your heart. And you watch God move as you begin to talk to Him more. Because sometimes you don't talk to God. I sort of got this sense in my spirit. Sometimes you don't talk to God because you find it hard to relate to Him as Father. And He just wants to come and almost like sit in your life. Just sit there. And then as you go through life, it's like you just know He's there and you need that. And I felt God wanted to encourage you today that He is right there. He's not moved. He will never leave you. Or forsake you. Never. I'm just going to share a very special moment I had last night before I finish. I'll ask my son for post permission after I've done it now. He sent me this amazing text last night. So when we were first in England almost 28 years ago, Dave and I literally had nothing. We had to believe God for dinner. We just had nothing. And I was a new mum. Ryan was born 4 months after we arrived in the UK. And this won't be surprising, but my son was very hyperactive like his father. And we couldn't entertain him. And I thought, what I would really love is one of those things you can hang your children in the door, you know, not around their neck. There's been moments. You know where they can bounce in the doorway? And we were in this house and there's a leak. Dave went up in the loft. Not that he was much good up in the loft because he could go up there, but he probably couldn't fix anything. Bless him. I do love him. I'm picking on him today. But you won't tell him because he's not here, right? And he went into the loft of the house we're in, and the only thing that was in the loft was a baby bouncer. The only thing that was there. Anyway, my son texted me last night and he said, Mum, I've begun to realise it wasn't just about a miracle for you and Dad. It was about the fact that God wanted to make me happy because He knew I would enjoy it. God wants to step into your life. He doesn't just love the person next to you. He loves you deeply. I don't think I've spoken like this in years. But what I'm talking to you about this morning is actually the crux of my whole life. It's my knowledge of the love of God for me. I've had to know it over and over and over and over. I come back to it. When I start to be some sort of mega woman that's running everything, which is a little bit of my story right now, I find myself coming back to, it's me and Jesus. He loves me. He cares about me. He loves my heart. All Jesus wants is what's left. Do you know when the Holy Spirit breathed on the upper room of just a few, a lot happened. These people, after Jesus had died, had been betrayed and had death in their story, and they found themselves in a room in a posture of sitting. And then the Holy Spirit came and breathed upon them. It was the birth of the church. It was the birth of miracles and expansion and multiplication that came out of a single moment just like today when all was boiled down to the simple. The simple that says, when I am weak, then I am strong. The simple that says, Father, I come seated today. I come reliant. I come with my heart. And that's all He wants. So we as a church this morning are going to respond to God. But before we do that this morning, I know that there are so many people in this place this morning, just like I came to God when I was just a little girl. There is nothing more complex about church or Christianity or anything than the fact that God loves you. There's nothing more complex today about a walk with God than that He died for you as a friend. He laid down His life for you so as you could know Him. He walked through the cross over the barrier of sin to reach out His hand to you. There's nothing more complex than that. Today there is a God who loves you, who wants to meet you, who wants to take your heart, who wants to heal your brokenness, who wants to connect you with the God of heaven that can literally change your life. And all these crazy people you've seen in here today with their hands raised are just people that they themselves had a moment just like today. They go, I need God. And every Sunday we pray for those that are in here that are either coming back to God or coming to God for the very first time. You know you need Him. Maybe a friend's brought you today and you think, I need the God that you're talking about. I need the God that I've seen so attractive in my friend's life. So we're going to pray in a moment, and I'm going to pray a prayer, and you're going to pray with me, inviting that God, that friend, that Savior, that person that I have painted today to come and dwell in your heart. It says in the Word of God that He comes and dwells in our hearts richly through faith. A sense of presence, knowing that someone is with you. I wonder if you close your eyes with me, church. And just follow me in this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart today. I know I need God. And I've been running around trying to fill my heart with all sorts of things. But I realize today it's you I need. And so I invite you into the vacant space of my heart. I ask you to be my Savior. I ask you to be my friend. And I ask you to live with me. I ask you to love this heart that's so broken. And I ask that you would somehow come and heal me up and make me whole. In Jesus' name, now with every eye closed. If you made that prayer like sincerely from your heart this morning, what I'm gonna do in a moment, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand quickly and just wave at me right across this place. And every Sunday, scores of people recognize their need of God already. A beautiful young lady raised her hand here. Who else here? Just raise your hand now, right across this place. You're saying, Jenny, I recognize my need of God. I'm gonna wait for you this morning. A beautiful young man, another young man there. Who else is there today? Just wave at me. Another man here, another young man here. That's fantastic. So, oh Lord, I'm just gonna wait a moment. Is there anyone else in this place this morning? Just lift your hand and wave at me, another young lady there. Lift your hand right now, I'm gonna pray for you. If you raised your hand, just, that's it, wave at me. This is the best decision that you have ever made in your life. Father, I thank you for these 6, 7, 8 people this morning that have reached out to you. And I thank you, Lord God, that your word says if we seek you, we will find you. If we search for you with all our hearts. Father, I thank you today that they have entered into the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. You can pop your hands down. Congratulations, guys. Congratulations, guys. I want you to stand with me, church, in these closing moments. We're coming to God empty-handed right now. Hey, we're coming to God empty-handed. And He says, finally. We're going to just worship Him for a moment. I want you just to come to Him with just you. Nothing that you've added. Not want that complex knowledge of God. Just you. Let's just sing right now. Let's really worship.
Church.